welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode number 32, recorded on the 16th of June, 2014. The Spurs are a humble team. In today's show, we break down the NBA playoffs, we discuss a bit about the ownership of the LA Clippers, and we marvel at the play of the San Antonio Spurs. All that coming up next. And welcome to another exciting episode of the Sports Fathers. This episode, we are dedicating our discussion to the incredible sport of basketball. Basketball, the NBA, of course, just finished up last night as we're recording this with the Spurs winning the championship. I'm Father Daryl in Watson, Saskatchewan. And joining me to talk about the NBA is Father Kyle Sanders in New Orleans. Hello, Father Kyle.
How are you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I want to apologize beforehand. I am at a camp, so if there are random announcements that happen, I can't stop that.
And Father Stephen, you are down, I believe, in San Antonio. Is this correct?
Correct, right. Born and raised, San Antonio, Texas.
So not much of a party going on there at all lately or anything like that, right?
Well, I have a feeling that a lot of people called in to work this morning. I don't think a lot of them made it up. In fact, I let the parish staff do a half day today and go on home and continue the celebration.
That's awesome.
It's like a holiday here, let me tell you.
That's awesome. Well, let's get right at the discussion.
So why don't we start at the beginning of the playoffs? We have a total of, I'm horrible with math, but 8 times 8, or 8 plus 8 is 16 teams.
Yes.
So starts with 16 teams, and starting the Western Conference, the very first matchup was actually Spurs versus the Mavericks. Two very veteran teams that duked it out. Spurs won the first game. The Mavs won the second and third game. The Spurs won in the fourth and the fifth game. And the Mavs won the sixth game. And the Spurs, in the final of the seven games, the best of four, won the seventh game. Brother Steven, what you think about that?
Well, this one thing that people have to understand is that, you know, we're only 5 hours away from Dallas. And this rivalry has gone on for some time. In fact, it's called the I-35 rivalry, the highway that connects us both is I-35. And there's a long history of just great games coming from this matchup between the Mavericks and between the Spurs, that they'll go back and forth. And a lot of times it comes down to the last shot. But this year, I believe that the Spurs were just, they weren't firing on all cylinders yet until that final game of Game 7 of this matchup, when they put it into a whole different gear, and you could see the margin of victory in that last Game 7 was pretty good. And so I think that game was truly one of the turning points for this year's Spurs team, that allowed them just to continue rolling into the playoffs and just really dominating whoever they play next.
And we will get there in a second. We'll continue with the Western Conference. Portland versus Houston. Portland won the series 4-2, and pretty much it was LaMarcus Aldridge. He pretty much just took over most of the games for Portland and led them to some great games. I mean, the guy scored 140 points in 3 games. It boggles my mind that you can.
Right, he averaged. I'm looking at some stats. He averaged 26 points in the playoffs. And so, yeah, he was really lighting it up. And so it's hard to defend somebody that no matter what you do to them, they're shooting that well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it was a good matchup, that's to say the least.
Last time I played basketball would have been in high school, and some of our games didn't get up to 26 points. So that's pretty good. Yeah. We're a little bit more into hockey up here in Canada, I guess.
However, the fifth game, Houston was able to win one of the games, and they held Aldridge to just eight points. So that really helped. When you're able to hold him, they pretty much are able to handle it. And that's what San Antonio, we'll get to that soon. the next game, Clippers versus Golden State, the California rivalry. Obviously the Lakers for the first time in a while have not been in the playoffs. They had a absolutely horrible season, and pretty much melted down, which everybody enjoyed, I think, but the Lakers fans.
Especially here in San Antonio, let me say concerning the Lakers is that there is no love for the Los Angeles Lakers in San Antonio.
I can't imagine that there would be.
Zero love for the Lakers in San Antonio.
But really, Golden State was going in with a lot of energy and a lot of power and a lot of push behind them. But they weren't able to sustain that through that series. The Clippers won the series 4-3. And you can really tell through these games that there is a higher level of play in the Western Conference.
Absolutely.
Just in general, as opposed to the Eastern Conference. Yeah, the Clippers, they were ready to prove their success. They were ready to go forth and show that they are a dominant team, which has never been the case.
No,
that's really like stepping into new boundaries. But
they have a bright future also.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, they have a bright future. Their guys are young. Chris Paul, Griffin, they're still very young, and they have a very promising future. I mean, just their team to really look out for.
Definitely. And there's two that are actually in the Eastern Conference, Washington and then Toronto, the other one, are two other young teams that if they really continue in this energy that they have can provide some competition to the Heat. But the big news around the Clippers, of course, over the past 2 months now, has been their owner, Donald Sterling, who has recordings were found of him making some racial slurs, and pretty much everyone in the industry was asking for his head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that made some pretty major news. Like that was even on our Canadian national newscasts.
Really?
And I mean, the NBA like never makes our national newscasts here, you know, oddly enough. But yeah, in this case, it was huge news even up here.
And there's all different kinds of things going on that, you know, they're asking for. They wanted him to sell the team, but because he could never arrive at a game or be contacted, his wife was going to sell the team. And then he was going to file a lawsuit against the NBA, and then he wasn't going to file a lawsuit against the NBA for, and then he is going to file a lawsuit against the NBA for lessening his character. It's been a debacle, but
absolutely.
Except for a debacle for his pocketbook, because I understand he's set to make a reasonable amount of money off of this.
Oh,
off of the sale. Well,
certainly. If that does go through, if that's what ends up happening, because he's selling at the right time.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a time to sell the Clippers, now is the time. I think it's overblown.
I agree, not
to lessen the fact that he made a racial slur, but I think people asking for his head just because of a comment that, you know, although not kind, it certainly doesn't warrant the reaction that occurred.
Right. I mean, let's be clear, right? It's never okay to belittle the dignity of the human person, of anyone, no matter where they're from, what color, creed, what faith, whatever they profess. I mean, we're everyone's clear about that, and I think everyone understands that's what our faith teaches. However, I don't believe that the consequence was in line with the offense. It just didn't. A lot of it to me, it just, you know, looking from the outside, a lot of it to me just seemed, there were questions as it kept popping up one after the other in my mind. For instance, you know, this person that recorded him, why did she have all these recordings, right? And what, it, I don't know, to me, my intuition was kind of telling me that this was kind of a setup, that this was somehow a setup. And listen, I'm not trying to turn the man into a victim. Right. He's not a victim. Let's be clear about that. But the reality of it is, just from observing what the media, how they took a hold of it and how everything else eventually unfolded, it just the punishment doesn't fit the crime. At least it doesn't seem to me that it really does.
And it seems that he enforcing such a high penalty on him, it seems to lessen or demean other sinful actions that other players, coaches have done within the league.
Right.
And, you know, the fact that Kobe Bryant is still playing, just, and you know, what he did to that woman.
Right.
I don't know. It seems like, it's overblown.
I know one of the things that I found a little surprising, you know, and again, looking at it from a distance, but how quick the investigation and, I don't know what you would call it, trial, whatever, occurred. Because wasn't it within the space of a week, basically, that the story broke and then, you know, a few days later, he's basically kicked out of the league, if I got my timeline correct.
Yeah, it was about that.
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
So the speed of it really did kind of surprise me. I mean, again, not defending him or anything. I just would think for such a major consequence that there might be a little bit more of a defined process. But I don't know what the process actually is in the policies of the league, I guess. So,
well, I'm just curious to see if this is going to be followed through. If this sets a precedent, because in my view, it has to then, right? If you're going to hand down this sort of consequence to him, then it should follow that anyone else who just makes a slip of the tongue, well, okay, maybe this was not so much a slip of the tongue. Right. I did hear the audio, so this was not a slip of the tongue. But if anyone says something that is obviously offensive to anyone else, offends the dignity of the person, then the same punishment, the same consequence must follow. I mean, he's been banned for the rest of his life from what he has become, what his life is. And so then it seems to me that must be the case for others then in the future.
Yeah. Like set some real firm policies, you know, so that everybody knows what's going on.
Yeah.
It certainly does. Certainly does. And I mean, it would only be justice if in the future something like this occurs again, that we pray it doesn't, but if it does occur again, that the same consequence punishment would be received by the perpetrator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, from the perspective of the league, I imagine they would think of it that they live and die based on their publicity. And when something is so obviously negative, I can understand certainly the need or the desire to react quickly. But I was just surprised by how quick it actually was.
You know, there's just to throw some fuel into the fire. you know, there's conspiracy theories floating around, and you know, I don't know how much credence to give these, and in fact, I'd say probably give them none. But there are conspiracies floating around that, you know, this was a setup on their part in order for other groups to come in and try and purchase the team. But we see from the sale that's not the case, because it wasn't the conspiracy was that it was former players that were trying to buy the team. But as we see who bought the team, and he was not affiliated with the NBA before.
Wasn't it somebody with Microsoft, like Steve Ballmer or something like that?
Right. A former CEO, I believe, of Microsoft.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, just to throw fuel in the fire, you know, that complicates this whole mess as it is that you know, there's people that even believe that he was set up, that this was somehow a setup on the woman that reported him on her part, that she was working with someone else to set him up to where he would take this fall, because truly he has fallen greatly.
Oh yeah, definitely fallen from grace.
Yeah.
So, and we'll see later on that this indeed has an effect on the Clippers and their performance. Or at least some would say so.
I truly believe it had an effect on them in the playoffs this year. They could have done a lot better if there wouldn't have been all these outside distractions. You know, the players are having to form in solidarity against their own owner. You know, they do something with their, they had armbands or they did something to show that they were protesting against the guy that signs their paycheck.
Yeah.
And so it had to have been a distraction, just had to have been that really took their focus off the game. But in fact, you know, this is part of basketball, part of basketball game, not to say that anyone had this in mind when this occurred, but part of the game of basketball is to talk trash, if you will, to really try and get in the head of your opponent and to really make them lose their focus. I mean, you see it on the playgrounds down here all the time. You see these guys that really try to get in the other guy's head, that they'll even get personal and get offensive just to try and win the game.
Yeah, well, when you say that, I think of the movie Sandlot and the Kenner.
Right. There you go.
You throw a girl.
Yeah. Of course, that can have a backfiring effect, though. If a team thinks that the whole world is against them, then that can really motivate them. I think, you know, in hockey, the New York Rangers, actually the Montreal Canadiens in that series against the New York Rangers, which we'll get to in a different podcast. but you know, there was a mentality of, you know, the Rangers rallied around one of their players who had a close family, a death in the family, and they rallied around him. The Canadians, I think, rallied around, you know, a lot of people didn't give them much of a chance. So, you know, that can be a rallying point.
Yeah.
No,
it just depends on the mental focus of the particular team.
Yeah.
Right. The coach, absolutely. Really,
to direct them.
The coach, yeah, exactly. The moral capability, the mental capability of the coach. You know, is he like you know, in the NBA, everyone turns to good old Phil Jackson. They call him the Zen Master, right? But he's able to calm his players when they're getting really excited or when they're losing focus. He's able to refocus them at the job at hand. And so, obviously, that's an essential part of what the coach should be able to do for his players.
And we will talk about that with regards to Eric Spoelstra. But anyway, we will continue. So the final first group was Oklahoma City versus Memphis. And Memphis, this is a replay of the Western Conference Finals, or one of the Western Conference semifinals last year. And Memphis beat Oklahoma City to go into the Western Conference Finals against San Antonio. This has become like the Central American rivalry between Memphis and Oklahoma City, these kind of upstart teams that are not very old and or have moved from other places. And actually both of them have moved from other places. But so they're still trying to create something for themselves, but it seemed that Memphis didn't have it in them this time. Kevin Durant took over and earned his MVP honors quite well, and I do believe that he deserves that honor as MVP. And the guy is just phenomenal.
He's the real deal. There's no doubt about that. There's no denying that. He's a big man that can shoot a three-pointer at any time, which is, you know, absolutely deadly, considering that he is a big man and he could just dominate under the basket. So if you leave him open in the perimeter, he's going to kill you there also.
Exactly. He can ball. He can handle the ball. He's like Dirk Nowitzki, Chris Paul, and Shaq all in one.
Right.
And it's in this little tiny skinny frame. It's amazing what he can do. I've seen him play live, and I'm impressed. Anyway.
Absolutely.
So to move over to the Eastern Conference, the first game between Indiana and Atlanta, the first and the last seed, Atlanta was surprising to be in the playoffs. I saw them earlier in the year live in Atlanta with our Father Daryl's friend and mine, Sarah Vadulis, which was a fun game. But Atlanta wasn't going to be able to hold. They were able to pull 7 games out of Indiana, which is a shame for Indiana, but they needed to move on. The Pacers were expected to go far, and they did.
I'll be honest. I'm trying to look at the stats here, and I don't recognize any of these names. I don't know any of these guys, and I tend to think that I'm a follower of the NBA, but I guess not. I'm looking at
the guys for Indiana or Atlanta.
For Atlanta, Indiana.
Yeah, it's a really scrappy team. Kyle Korver is probably the biggest name. That I would even know. I think they were just happy to be in the playoffs. They were either going to be in the playoffs or they were going to be in the lottery. So do you know what the lottery is, Father Daryl?
No, enlighten me, please.
So the 8 worst teams in the league are put into basically a lottery, and they choose from those 8 teams who will pick the first 8 picks of the draft. So it isn't, is it, if you are the worst team, it doesn't necessitate that you will have the first pick.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. That's similar to hockey then in that way. Yeah.
You just get more drawings right in the lottery when you're towards the bottom.
Just to go there real quickly, the Pelicans in one of their trades last year sold a lottery pick if it wasn't the first or second pick. So like we were hoping to get, or the first, second, or third pick. If we were hoping to get one of those first 3 picks so that we could have a first round draft pick, but it didn't work out. So we have no draft. We had a horrible season. We had, just everything was bad, and we don't have a first round draft pick to bring in fresh blood next year. So,
how is Cleveland feeling? Boy, they're on cloud 9.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Certainly. That's
what luck for them.
Indeed. Speaking of first round picks, the Washington Wizards versus Chicago. The Wizards, working their magic with John Wall, their first round pick from 3 years ago, and they pretty much built the team around him and really did a good job of doing that. They have a lot of these young, active players, and it really helped them. They dominated Chicago, won 4 games to 1, and moved on to the next round to play Indiana. Then, Father Daryl, your Toronto Raptors played against the Brooklyn Nets, brought the series to 7 games, and the Raptors, they're looking for some stability, really, for the first time since the really early years of the Raptors with Vince Carter.
Yeah.
I think they were just happy to be in the playoffs.
And I think the city of Toronto was happy to have a team of theirs in the playoffs too, because the Maple Leafs weren't.
But they weren't able to handle. I think they're still young, and right. the experience that was on Brooklyn, Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, there's such experience on that team, and Jason Kidd coaching. I don't think they were able to handle that experience. But Brooklyn didn't have as much more energy in them. And then the final first set of games, the Heat versus the Bobcats, and that was all LeBron James. I mean, they won in 4 games. It's the only sweep in the entire playoffs this year. 4 games to nothing. So, we continue on to the conference semifinals. the first game in the conference semis is in the Western Conference, the Spurs versus Portland. You want to take over?
Yeah, that was a pretty scary matchup for us at first. Mm-hmm. Portland is not going to be something to deal with here in the future. They're bright, they're young, and they move the ball just so fast. I mean, it's just a fast-paced offense. And these guys are going to be really good coming up in the future. But in the end, what we're going to see wins out. What we know today, after what happened last night, what wins out is this team play. Because yeah. What you notice compared to even Portland, what happened with them, and what happens with most teams, is they start putting everything on the shoulders of one person, right? Mm-hmm. And when you do that, then as we can see, it doesn't work. That kind of mentality, it's not going to work when you're playing a team like the Spurs that truly mm-hmm. just play team basketball. And so when you try to put the load just on your superstar or whoever your franchise player is against a team like the Spurs, is just not going to win out.
Indeed. And that's what happened. The Spurs defense pretty much smothered LaMarcus Aldridge. And
right, exactly. Didn't do anything. I mean, he still had a great series. He points per game 23, rebounds per game 11. Yeah. You know, that's awesome. Those are great numbers.
They are.
But it's just not enough when you're the only
to help you.
Exactly. It's just not enough with the only guy doing that.
You know, when I think it was one of the series, I don't know which one, but the Spurs had four starters with 20 points in a game. Right. You know, you're just like, you can't do anything with that when you have multiple guys that can score like that, and that they'll pass it around to find the guy. You know,
the past championships of the Spurs, they were built upon solid defense. They were built upon a smothering defense. And this year we've seen that change, where the Spurs did play very good defense, but more than anything, it was their offense that was firing on all cylinders. And so you're not going to beat a team when they're you know, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but through the finals, they had a field goal percentage of, I think, 52%. And so you're going to have trouble beating that unless you have a defense like the old Pistons defense or something that can really shut them down.
Yeah, that's going to scare you.
Exactly.
It's going to push you around and make you and push you off your game. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then you have the team, the next series, Oklahoma City versus the Clippers. You have two young, active, very, very fast-paced teams that are just going back and forth across the court. The Clippers, I think, like we talked about earlier, they couldn't handle all the pressure.
I think that truly was the key. I don't think that it was their gameplay more so than it was mental. Not being able to truly focus on what they're there to do, what they're on the court to do. All these other distractions just really took their mind off of the game at hand.
Yep. And it didn't help that I think it was game five. Game five, there was a foul, or there was a poor judgment call by the ref. And Doc Rivers, like after the game, was harping on the fact that it was a poor call and it was poor officiating, and they should have won the game. And like I respect Doc Rivers he's been very successful with the
former Spurs.
Yeah. But I just don't know if that was the best tact when there's such weak morale within the team, to then blame it on the refs and not just say, okay, let's do better the next game. Because they might have come out better in game six had he responded differently, I think.
Right. I agree. I'm thinking about what you're saying, and I agree with that as a coach, you want to motivate your players. You don't necessarily want them to think there's excuses why they lost. You want them to really look inside themselves and correct whatever they might be failing to do to in order to lead to victory. Yeah. And so I agree with you. You know, the coach really should have had them focus on what they could do better rather than focusing on the officiating. Because if you focus on the officiating, you're never gonna be able to focus on anything ever again. And that's all you're gonna focus on. Because let me tell you, those refs at times they take control over the whole game. Yeah. And so yeah, if you focus on that, good luck.
Yep. So to continue on, the Eastern Conference Finals, Indiana versus the Wizards. It went to six games, Indiana 4-2 over the Wizards. And the Wizards really started off the series. They jumped out. They won the first game. But then Indiana, with their greater experience, they gel better as a team. I think the Wizards are still learning how to play with each other and tame that energy. And direct it. So, but Indiana definitely won it, and they deserved it. Really, I think to me, they are the best team in the Eastern Conference. Miami has the best players, but they're the best.
George is something really special. Paul George is something really special, and he's going to be so for the years to come. I mean, he's the real deal. That guy is the real deal. He's a ball player. He's a baller, as they say. And if you just put the right people around him and you can help them to understand how to play as a team. I don't think they're going to be able to be stopped in winning NBA championships.
Yeah, they'll be able to make up for the so many times when Reggie Miller almost made it to the finals, but then lost to Michael Jordan. Almost, it's like over and over again. The Pacers like I almost got there, then Michael Jordan made a three, and we lost. You know, I feel like it just happens like again. It's now like, but it's now against the Heat. They just can't seem to to push through to that finals because it's the second year in a row. We'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself. So the final semifinal game was against Brooklyn against the Heat, and Brooklyn I think is just too old. They got tired. Their guys, they have great ball players, but I think. Mm-hmm. They got tired and they didn't have enough, like the Spurs are able to have some of that younger energy, like Kawhi Leonard, to be able to go in. And I don't think the Brooklyn have that great a depth to help those veteran players.
Well, Brooklyn definitely has great players, but one thing their great players also have is a great ego. And so these guys, you know, instead of passing the ball, they'll take the shot, and it may be that they're not on that night. They're not making their buckets aren't going in, and so that's gonna kill you every time.
Yeah,
I think that team's gonna get broken up here pretty soon. I think that a lot of players are gonna start going their own separate ways.
Yep, they're either gonna retire or go to another place.
Yeah, that's right.
And I mean, LeBron, I think had the highest scoring game in the playoffs this year, in that fourth game against Brooklyn, he had 49 points. Anyway, that just boggles my mind.
Yeah, so that is amazing.
So we get into the Western Conference Finals, Spurs against Oklahoma City, basically a team versus two players.
Right, and you know, and even that Westbrook didn't really show up as what he's done in previous years.
Yeah.
So you know, that can be attributed to two things, and with my bias, I'm gonna attribute it to the great Spurs defense. But but what it could also be attributed to is that Westbrook was just not on. He was just not playing well. He was missing a lot of shots. He wasn't as aggressive as he's been in the past. And then when you would see those sparks of aggressiveness, of really trying to get it to the post, it was not enough. It was just too few and far between.
I have found that, like, as a general rule, he has been inconsistent, like Westbrook. He'll have, like, great games, fantastic games, and then, like, be off.
Right.
I think that's what's so impressive about Kevin Durant, is that he's consistently good.
Absolutely.
You know, Westbrook, he gets despondent or, you know, like, he loses his cool or gets off, and then, you know, three or four or five... six games, he can't recover. And like the coolness of Durant, just to keep going, to keep the that
And there's something to be said about losing James Harden, you know, that him
oh, as a point certainly. Guard,
the way he would dish the ball around, where he would spread out the points. It's, you know, he'd really get the ball to a lot of other players, get people involved. And with that missing link, I think it hurt the Thunder.
Yeah. Well, the Houston was definitely appreciative.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's why Houston is doing so well right now.
Yeah, it's not because of Dwight Howard. Let's not. yes, overconfident. Yeah, that was. And then the Eastern Conference, between definitely the best teams in the Eastern Conference, no doubt, Miami versus Indiana. Indiana
now,
really. Go ahead.
Here I have to be honest. I was disappointed in George in this series.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what happened to him. He really didn't show up.
Yep. I mean, that's what they were expecting. Like, for him, for David West, for Roy Hibbert, for them to be able to show up, and they didn't. I mean, they won the first game.
Yeah, how about the flack that Hibbert's been taking? Oh my goodness, that guy. Yep. They're trying to really make him seem like he was a junior high player playing with professionals. I mean, that guy is taking a beating.
Yep. Yep. But I mean, he's played well all year. He's been successful for them and directed the team well, but you know, for whatever reason. And it could just be just inexperience still on his part. I think David West is probably the most experienced player on that starting roster. So, but pretty much, you know, LeBron James took over and he beat them because he can do that. That's what's so like, I don't like the Heat. I'm not going to lie. I don't like the Heat, but to watch him take over a game and just win a game almost single-handedly.
Well, he can and he can't. He can when it's a team that doesn't have a coach that can respond and adjust to what needs to be done Coach Popovich said this, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, okay, we weathered the storm of the LeBron attack. And once we got through that, we were fine. We just stuck to our game plan. And as you can see that Coach Popovich, there's some wisdom to that. So you're right. You know, there is no stop. Let's be clear. There's no stopping LeBron James when he has that fallaway jumper, just like Michael Jordan used to do. You can't defend that. There's no defending that shot, and it's gonna go in. It's gonna go in every time. But as Popovich said, you just weather that storm, though. You let him have his run, or I guess you don't let him have anything. But he's gonna get his points.
After
you weather that storm, you get back to your game plan, and the Spurs were just fine. But you have to be careful though. If you know, Michael Jordan used to call it the zone, getting into the zone.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful when LeBron gets into that zone, because then he's just on automatic pilot.
Well, and you saw that in the first. I watched the first quarter of that final game. And then whatever they did, the Spurs did to adjust, just knocked him down. Like, he just, they couldn't, they had 28 points in the first quarter and 8 points in the second quarter.
Right. One of the commentators said that he ran out of gas, that that he just gave it his all in that first quarter.
Yeah.
Really in the first half. He gave it his all in that first half, and then after that he didn't have anything left in the tank. And so I don't know how much truth there is to that, but
Wade didn't help. Like, the whole series, Wade didn't help. He wasn't there.
He didn't show up. Bosch really didn't show up. Bosch had one game that was pretty good. But other than that, the other, you know, their big three, I don't know if they should even call themselves that. There's really only one big three right now in the NBA. But, you know, they call themselves a big three. But those guys didn't even show up. Bosch and Wade didn't really show up to even help LeBron. And I think you could even... You know, I watched some of the interviews, the after the game interviews, and I think I could hear that in his voice. I can hear that LeBron James' voice, kind of a frustration that you know, he needs help.
Yeah, and he even said that, like, the pregame on that final game, you know, follow me, follow my lead, follow my lead. And he was trying to, he's like trying to lead the troops, but nobody was ready to follow him. Like, I don't know if that's his, because it's personality and that, you know, but nobody was willing to follow him.
Yeah. And you know, it all goes back to me. It all goes back to the different attitudes of these guys. Now that's what you see emerging in the NBA more and more is these guys that are emerging, that they want to be the center of attention. They want to be the franchise player. They want to be the superstar. They want the ball. Whereas, you know, the Spurs team, Coach Popovich has taught them from day one that you are a team and you're going to win as a team. And, you know, you even see it when you see guys getting pulled out of the game. When Manu Ginobili gets put out of the game because when he starts playing selfish and he wants to be Superman and take over the game and try to start doing some silly things, well, Coach Popovich will pull him out and he'll sit him down. And you don't see Manu Ginobili huffing and puffing or pouting or getting angry about being pulled from the game. He goes and he sits down and somebody else comes in for him and they continue playing as a team fixed on a goal.
Well, and to emphasize that point, one of the sub players for the Spurs, Marcus Bellinelli. He played for the Hornets for like 3 years and he never was successful. Like never, you know, he has a good shot. He has good energy, but it didn't work well in the team that we had. And then he enters, like just plugs into this team and is able to fill his role exactly the way that he needs to. And it's just like, man, I wish we would have had that.
Absolutely. You know, you make a great point. These guys on the Spurs, they understand their role and they're okay with it. And you know, and even the guys are getting a little bit older. Tim Duncan, he's even understanding more and more his role as the leader, and maybe not so much anymore as the guy who's going to have most points in the game. You know, Kawhi Leonard is just emerging as our next, if he stays with us, he's going to be our next franchise player. He's going to be the guy that we turn to that's going to lead us to some more championships. And so you see that. You see these guys understanding. This is what it all comes down to, my brothers, and we're going to understand this, obviously. It comes down to the virtue of humility, is that the Spurs are truly a humble team. You know, I was noticing this last night. You know, obviously I was following last year's finals very close. Spurs were right in there. We all thought they were going to win it there, game six. We were all ready to celebrate here in San Antonio. In fact, even after they lost that game, we went and celebrated anyway. But the difference is, I noticed that when LeBron James was given the NBA Finals trophy and he was given his MVP trophy, there was a look on his face like, I told you so, or you know, what did you expect? Or just kind of a smug look on his face. Now, fast forward to last night when the Spurs won and the trophy was being passed around as a team. Tim Duncan received the trophy in his hands and he didn't make any facial expressions. He wasn't even at the center of attention. He received the trophy and was standing behind Tony Parker as Tony Parker was being interviewed. And so that says a lot about just the humility of the Spurs basketball organization, and that's why we're so proud of them here in San Antonio. It's more than just their great basketball play. It's what they stand for off the court. And that all started with David Robinson. David Robinson, truly a man of faith, you know, a good Christian, and just really changed the way that people look at the San Antonio Spurs, at least here locally. The Spurs never get any respect nationally or even worldwide. They never get any respect because they don't have those flashy players. They don't have the guys with the big shoe endorsements. They don't have the guys making all the commercials on TV. And so the people really don't stand behind them and support them. But we here in San Antonio, we know what they stand for, and we couldn't be any more proud of them. Because again, they're a team that plays together, and they're a humble team.
Well, I don't think there's anything else to say after that.
No, I think that pretty well sums it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the party's going to continue, guys. I don't know if you're going to make it down to San Antonio anytime soon, but here in San Antonio, if it's one thing we know how to do, we know how to have a fiesta. And the Fiesta's probably going to continue for about another month or so. And so if you're ever down these parts, come on by.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I have to say, as an outsider, I was just spending a lot of time listening to you guys talk, because obviously I know really next to nothing about basketball, and I was totally drawn into it. So thanks so much for sharing your thoughts.
Absolutely.
No problem. I love it.
Anytime we want to talk about the Spurs, I'll be more than willing.
Sounds good.
If you want to talk about the Heat, not so much, but more than happy to talk about the San Antonio Spurs.
Sounds great. Well, we would love to know what you think as well. Please comment in the show notes or reach us on Facebook or Twitter. You can find all of those details at thesportsfathers.com. We'd love to hear from you. And yes, we will record also very soon an episode about the NHL playoffs. Those just finished up. And if we get a chance, we'll also talk a bit about some sort of small little event going down in Brazil or something. To do with a ball and feet,
yes,
something like that.
So. Yeah, I'm starting my novena for the U.S. team right now.
Sounds great. Well, thanks a lot, you guys.
Absolutely.
And have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thank you.
Hey, take care. God bless.
God bless you.